This is Julia Shopik for Keeper.com, and today we have a very interesting guest. Her name is Susan Hutchinson. Susan is the Director of Connectivity for an organization called You Are Loved, and she is also a long-term survivor of toxic shock syndrome. Now in her early 50s, Susan is one of the original survivors of toxic shock syndrome from the days of the Rely tampon scandal. For those of you who don't know about this scandal or remember it, in the 1980s, Procter & Gamble introduced a, quote, newer, better, more absorbent tampon and marketed it very heavily to women. Susan's period started when she was 15, and tampons became her menstrual product of choice. Then, at the age of 21, she received a solicitation from Procter & Gamble. Would she be willing to try this new, absorbent product? She did, eagerly. In the interview with me today, Susan will tell about what happened after she tried Rely tampons. She'll also tell us how and why she became a spokesperson for the not-for-profit organization YouAreLoved.org, what the organization is about, and what the organization hopes to accomplish. Hi, Susan. How are you today?
Hi, Julia. I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, too. Can you please, your story, I read about it on the You Are Loved website, and it's really fascinating. Would you please share your story about your experience with Rely tampons and toxic shock syndrome with us now?
Sure, I would be glad to. I was 21 years old, and I was working full-time, and I was also supporting my hubby, who was in college, and Rely tampon sent me a brochure and some information and free tampons. And I tried them, and they promised to last longer and absorb more and to provide less worry about leaks. And so that was an option that I really wanted to try. They did last longer than the tampons I had been using. They lasted a lot longer, and they absorbed an amazing amount. And I did have less worry, at least at first. By the end of the second day of my period, I noticed that when I removed the Rely tampon, it hurt. My vagina felt sore. The inside of my vagina felt really, really raw. And when I inserted the next one, it was painful. Well, that was concerning to me a little bit, but I didn't really worry about it. But on the third day, I woke up vomiting with fever and chills, and my throat felt raw and swollen, and I was so weak that I couldn't even get out of bed without my husband's assistance. I got diarrhea, and my chest hurt, and I got dizzy, and I thought, oh, I'm so sick. I've got the flu. And I called my doctor, and he said, oh, don't worry about it. You just come down with the flu or a stomach bug. And he prescribed a suppository of all things to calm my stomach and stop the vomiting. But all it did was make me sleepier. Well, I got sicker and sicker and sicker. My fever climbed, and my back and my muscles and my joints hurt. And I knew this was no stomach bug. And I really doubted it was the flu. I'd had the flu before, and it was not like this. I had no coughing, I had no sinus issues, and by late afternoon of that day, I was in really bad shape. I had developed a rash, and my skin was flushed. My husband helped me into the bathroom, and I almost fainted. I knew I was in bad shape. And as I sat on the toilet, I remembered I had not changed my tampon since the night before. And I removed it, and I placed a pad instead of another tampon. I called my doctor back and explained how very, very sick I was. And they assured me that it was nothing more than a virus, to try to keep myself hydrated, go back to bed, and let it run its course. Well, my fever continued to climb through the night, and I was just hurting so bad all over, and I just moaned. I was hurting so bad. I couldn't keep anything down. I got hydrated. My kidneys stopped putting out urine. And to be honest, I don't remember the next day at all. And at some point in my sickness, the dry heave stopped. My fever began to drop. I was out of work for over a week. I suffered fatigue and joint pains for many weeks afterwards. It took a long, long time for my vagina to finally heal from the Rely tampons and the damage they did. And my next period, I had to use pads and couldn't even use Rely tampons or any tampons because my vagina was just so sore and swollen. And then I noticed something really, really odd. My fingers and my toes peeled. I'd never had that happen before after I'd had, quote, unquote, the flu. When it was time for my next scheduled OBGYN appointment, which was only a couple of months beyond my illness, I mentioned to my doctor that I had tried a new tampon, and he asked how I liked them. And I told him that they were okay, that they were Rely tampons, and they did what they said they were going to do, but they also did more, I felt like, because it made me so sore and it made me so sick, and that I wasn't able to finish my period with them because my vagina was just too sore to use them. And he just really got interested, and I was wondering what the big deal was, but he returned with a nurse who checked me very well and wrote down all the information again that I had provided, and he checked me very well, and they did blood work, and I was called a few days later to receive the information that I should never use tampons again, that what I had was toxic shock syndrome, and that I could very well have died from it. And I was just totally shocked, and it wasn't long after that that I started to hear on the news. We didn't have internet back then, of course. We had TV news and newspapers, and it was just all over the news, the TV, about young women who had used Freely tampons and who had developed toxic shock syndrome from them and had died. And you just can't imagine the shock I felt, the horror that I had developed toxic shock syndrome using these tampons and could have died. But, you know, I didn't stop using tampons. I just used them smarter, and there's really no way to use them smarter.
So women just shouldn't use tampons that are at least for the synthetic, right?
They shouldn't, right. It's not a safe thing to do at all.
You know, I'm sorry. Go on.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that it's been 30 years since I had toxic shock, and I still have issues that I wonder if it goes back to the toxic shock syndrome that I had. And I've talked to other women who have physical problems that they deal with years and years and years after toxic shock.
So there are long-term effects then?
There are. There really are. I believe there are.
Can you tell us about some of them?
Sure. I personally have chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. I have a B12 deficiency. I have arthritis, but it's not rheumatoid and it's not osteoarthritis. They don't even give a name to it. They just say that it's some form of arthritis, and they don't know what causes it. A lot of aches and pains for no reason. I have a lot of food allergies, and the older I get, the more I am sensitive to chemicals and foods and additives and all of that, and so I'm very limited in what I can take into my body because my body just simply can't deal with it anymore. And nobody else in my family has this.
So you think it really could be a long-term effect of the Rely tampon, tampons, but what happened to you.
Right, the toxic shock.
You know, your story resonates. As the director of marketing for the Keeper Menstrual Cup, Keeper and Moon Cup, I've done a lot of research on toxic shock because one of the things we say about the alternative menstrual cups, the reusables, is that it's very doubtful that you could ever get toxic shock from using a reusable menstrual cup. But the thing that I'm trying to get at is that I've talked with several women who have had it, and yours is one of the cases that I almost get chills because if your doctor had not thought about it, and if you had not told him, you'd never have known that it was toxic shock because you didn't end up in the hospital with these symptoms. And somehow your symptoms went on for a long time before they resolved. Isn't that true?
Right, it is. It is. I had lingering infections, would run fevers for quite a while, and no one knew why.
But this is something that comes to mind now, and I just wanted to bring it up, and that is so many women might have had toxic shock and not known about it because they didn't end up in the hospital, they didn't die, they didn't have total organ failure, all of the classic symptoms, and there are probably many, many, many more people women who have had toxic shock than the doctors and the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, know about. It's probably a larger problem. Now, Rely tampons have been taken off the market. They killed, the toxic shock from Rely killed and maimed scores of women, but they're no longer being sold. So I know that you're active with an organization that's trying to make people aware, women aware, and health professionals aware of toxic shock. So is it really necessary? Hasn't it gone away?
No, it's not gone away. Oh, my goodness, no. Women and girls and teens are getting toxic shock still now.
And do you feel that the health professionals are really up on it? Do you think they recognize it when they see it?
No, I don't. The first thing they should think is she on her period? And if she is, has she worn a tampon within the last month, or is she wearing one now? But they don't think about that.
So you're telling me that a lot of girls and women will go into the emergency room, they'll have all of the classic symptoms, and they might even have a tampon in them, and the doctors don't even say anything. They don't
right.
think of that.
Right, and neither do the nurses. And I assume that it's training, a lack of training or awareness, and I don't understand it because they should be our first line of defense as far as recovery from toxic shock, or if not recovery, then diagnosis of it.
And also also preventing it, which you're doing a very good job in your position as director of connectivity for youarelove.org. You're trying to get the word out there. Can you tell us a little bit about youarelove.org and why you decided to join and get active?
Sure. Okay, sure. I heard about You Are Loved back several months ago and knew that they were looking for someone who could help with time, volunteer time, and I had a lot of time. And the fact that I had toxic shock in the past really brought this home to me because I was totally shocked to find out that toxic shock was still an issue. I knew that in the tampon box there was a little brochure warning you about toxic shock, and I knew that on the box there was the warning. But I did not know that women and girls were still dying from toxic shock. That was a total shock to me. And all these years, all these 30 years, I had been advocating tampons, Julia, and I thought about all the teenagers, all the young women I had taught to use tampons, and wondered how many of them over the years had developed toxic shock.
Why were you advocating that they use tampons?
Because I didn't know anything else. You don't find ads very often about menstrual cups. I know that we have disposable menstrual cups now, and you see ads sometimes about them, but women didn't talk about menstruation. They didn't talk about their periods. They didn't talk about their tampons or their pads unless they were caught out someplace and needed one.
And then I guess you heard about Lisa Ellifritz's story about her daughter?
I did. I read her story, and I knew that I could not remain silent, and I needed to speak out, and I needed to raise awareness, and I needed to do all I could to help out. When I read about Amy, heard about her death and Lisa's loss, it just absolutely broke my heart because these young women are still dying.
But why is it that younger women seem to get toxic shock more than older women?
Well, older women have been around and have been exposed to things, and we have a tendency to have already developed antibodies to various things. But younger women, they don't have these antibodies, and their bodies are fragile in this respect because they develop this bacterial infection, and it just invades their body because there is no resistance.
And poor Amy, she died of it.
Yes, she did.
And
yes,
how
she did.
Old was she, 20 years old?
Yes.
So tell a little bit about her, because I know I've spoken with Lisa. And, you know, losing a child is something you never get over. It's horrible. So tell a little bit about what happened to her.
Amy came down with what they thought was the flu. She had some fairly mild symptoms. Nothing major, nothing that really caused anybody concern. She had a little upset stomach and just wasn't feeling real well, and she did what you're supposed to do when you have an upset stomach, drink Sprite or Gatorade or something, you know, to try to settle her stomach. But she became worse, much worse, and within just a few days she was dead. Lisa took her to the doctor's office, and they knew that she was in bad shape. Her system was shutting down. And they put her in the hospital in ICU, but they weren't able to really do anything for her.
In talking with Lisa, she made it very, very clear that her daughter knew how not to abuse tampons. She never left them in too long, and
right. She
obeyed all the rules. And this is why, I think, this kind of thing is why you and Lisa and youareloved.org are so passionate about the fact that women should not be using these tampons, especially these synthetics. And isn't it rayon in the synthetics that is the problem, or am I wrong?
Yes. Viscose rayon, yes. It is. Amy was using regular absorbency, and she was changing them like the instructions in the box tell you to do. She was a hygiene freak. She was very careful, and yet she got toxic shock, and she died.
You know, Lisa is an amazing woman, just like you are, Susan. And I say that you are because here it is, what, 30 years later, and you're on a mission with Lisa. And that is very, very impressive, you know, that you care enough about other people. But you and Lisa together, I find this so moving, are working to have many, many, many changes made. And do you want to tell about some of them? I know some of them involve speaking to school classes, health classes, but tell it more.
Lisa goes to schools in her area and speaks to the schools, to the students, to the girls about the risks of toxic shock. She shares Amy's story and lets them know that there are other options available besides the traditional tampons with the rayon in them. We also have Carolyn Maloney's Tampon Safety Act that we would love to see passed in Congress, but that would do a great job right there.
You know that the Tampon Safety Act, she's tried to get it introduced several times now.
I know, and it's continually thrown out for the last 13 years.
Yep, it's kind of pathetic, isn't it?
I know. Where are all the women that should be concerned about this?
And I think that Carolyn Maloney was once quoted as saying, don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure about this, that if this were a man's issue, that bill would have been passed.
But definitely.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
And I love that woman because she keeps going and doing it again. I think with your help and with Lisa's help, she may actually get it passed. And I hope, you know, it's called the Robin Danielson Act. And
right.
I am hoping that they'll change it to the Amy Elifritz Act. You know,
wouldn't that be wonderful?
I don't know about the doings, the comings and goings of Congress and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they can change the name of it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But wouldn't that be great if they
that
could?
That would be great.
And also, I know that you guys want to get notices in every emergency room, and I believe that the notice that Lisa told me she wants to see is the following, quote, if a girl comes in with the flu symptoms, conscious or unconscious, check her for a tampon. If there is one in, take it out. It could be toxic shock. And I love that because the kind of symptoms that you have described and that Amy had, couldn't they just be flu?
Sure.
And this is the bad thing, that the doctors, you know, they're the emergency rooms, they're really hectic. You've been in them, like people running around. And so somebody comes in with the flu, and they don't take it too seriously, right?
Right, exactly.
But if it's toxic shock, they better get on it. How do you think we can get notices in all emergency rooms? How can we do that?
Oh, I don't know. I wish I knew. That's one area that I lack information and experience and wisdom and knowledge in, and that's just one of many. I wish I knew how to go about doing that, raising awareness and talking to doctors and expressing to them the need for this, telling Amy's story, and making people aware. That's what I know to do. Do you have any suggestions yourself?
Yeah, I have been thinking about this, and I loved what you also said about nurses, because there are many associations of holistic nurses and holistic doctors. As a matter of fact, I have been in contact for another project of mine with the American Holistic Nurses Association. Maybe we could contact them and have them spreading the word and ask them their opinion. You got to kind of go like, if we don't have the answer, and I don't either, and I don't know if Lisa does either, we go to the people who know how to get to the people.
Yeah,
so that would be something I would be very willing to help with.
That would be great.
But there's the whole thing of getting this done, and I know that you and Lisa both feel that we don't have years and years and years to go through bureaucratic hoops, right?
No. We don't.
I mean, women, on the youareloved.org website, by the way, for all of you out there who want to go visit it, it's u-r-a-r-e-loved.org. So it's u-r-loved.org. And on keeper.com's website, I'm going to be having show notes with this interview, and I will have a link to it there as well. but also on the You Are Loved website, youareloved.org website, there are stories of women, girls, one that I remember by a mother who talks about losing her daughter, just like Lisa did, but there are also stories by survivors, and I urge people to go look at those on the website. And now you said that you used to recommend using tampons, and now you don't. What do you recommend that women use for menstrual protection?
Well, there are several things. They can use 100% organic cotton tampons, no rayon. Menstrual cups, there are reusable and there are disposable. There are new pads out there that are very absorbent, and there are even cloth pads. Tampons are not the only thing that's out there.
And you know what we often say, a lot of the people who are interested in health, like you are and like Lisa is also interested in environmental topics.
Yes.
And what we like to say is that the cotton tampons are wonderful. They are much less likely to absorb, but it's probably better for the environment not to use any disposable. So
yes.
Keeper.com with our Keeper menstrual cup and Moon Cup menstrual cups are on a mission to get women to use reusables. And by the way, there are companies like Glad Rags and Snappy Pads that make very nice reusable pads as well. So I'm not saying that only one thing is the answer, but it just seems like it's time that we do something like the Stop Smoking campaign. That works.
Right. We need to stop listening to the tampon companies when they give their ads, because they make it sound like a tampon is a woman's only option. It's not their only option. There are better options out there as far as I'm concerned.
And you know something? You made a very good point here in that these companies that make the tampons, they are rich. They have tons of money. You can't go for an hour on television without seeing an ad, can you?
That's right.
And
right.
So what chance do we have? We're trying to make it, by the way. Isn't online promotion wonderful? Because
yes,
there
it
you
is.
Don't have to pay big bucks, you know.
That's right.
To go on Facebook. We have a Keeper fan page on Facebook. Just go on Facebook and look for Keeper. I believe you guys have Facebook pages too, don't you?
We do. It's Amy Elifritz.
And so, you know, these are ways that we're working hard to get the word out there. We certainly don't have the money that Procter & Gamble has. And
no.
The menstrual cups, you know, they're made by women for women. And, by the way, they save on the pocketbook, too. You know, but it's harder to get the word out there. So I'm hoping that you will want to go on lots of radio shows because you're really good.
Let me share with you something that happened today. I was speaking with a teacher at the school, elementary school that I volunteer at a couple of times a week, and we started talking about periods, and she said that hers often starts when she least expects it, and immediately red flags went up, and I said, you know, not to use a tampon before your period starts, just in case. That's not a good thing to do. And she said, well, what can I do? And I said, oh, there are menstrual cups out there. Would you like me to get you some information? And she said, sure. You know, I got so excited because I thought about you.
Oh, you know what? You're doing such a good deed because it's so, so, so important. Isn't that wonderful? So you're finding new opportunities, and I think that's wonderful. By the way, I know when Lisa goes into the school, and are you going to be going into schools as well or no?
I hope to.
Well,
I
you'd be wonderful
to.
In schools because you have a personal story to tell, but we'd love to have our product flyers for you or something like that. And sample chains to show, because once women learn how to use a tampon, using a cup is not that different. You know,
no, it's not.
Just putting
really.
Something inside, you know? So
right.
Is there anything else you'd like to add? You've been so informative. And did I skip anything that you wanted asked?
No, I believe you covered everything. I would like to say don't put yourself at risk. Don't buy into what most tampon companies are selling. Take care of your body and invest a few minutes and explore safer options than traditional tampons. And also, if you've ever had toxic shock, please never, ever use a tampon again.
Do the tampon companies say that or no?
You know, I don't remember. I know they used to. I can't speak for current pamphlets right now. I don't know.
Was it you or Lisa who pointed out that with drug ads on TV, they always give the side effect? Not with tampon ads. It has to do. Doesn't it have to do with the classification of what it is? It's a medical product and not a drug.
Right.
You have been so informative. We're going to put your interview on Keeper.com, both as an audio, because I'll be honest with you, hearing your voice and hearing your story, it's so much more effective, I think, than reading about it. And that's why I'm hoping that you will go on radio shows. And I'm going to share names of shows with you and with Greg, who works with Lisa, to get a promotion and to get you out there and to talk about don't ever use these things and tell women what the side effects are and what to look for. So you've been very, very informative and a pleasure to have on. And I want to thank you, Susan Hutchinson.
Thank you, Julia. It's been fun.
Well, hasn't it?
It's been wonderful. Yes, it's been great.
You didn't think it would be fun, but I told you it would. But maybe we'll do another interview. I think you're a natural. So thank you for talking with me today.
Thanks so much.